Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning more about forgiveness.
So when it comes to forgiveness, your mind tends to go to where you're hurt, but you have the ability by the power of Jesus Christ to begin to dictate where your mind goes, what you think about, what you're concentrating on, what you're meditating on. Whatever you think is who you are. As a man thinks, so is he, the Bible says. Whatever you think becomes the sum of who you are.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute here in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, we're in a new series today called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. And as Mark mentioned yesterday, in order to authentically connect with the people around us, we need to be willing to forgive and forget. But a lot of times that's easier said than done. So that's why Mark wants to help you learn how to maintain your forgiveness. And he starts out today's message by turning to the book of Ephesians. Let's get started with today's Bold Steps.
You know, when I was growing up, I had a German Shepherd. Now, this German Shepherd was almost as big as I. We bought him as a puppy, and as he grew, he became almost as big as I was. And my dad gave me the responsibility of training this dog. Well, the first time I took this dog out for a walk, the dog walked me. I didn't walk the dog. And I would tell my dad, "Dad, I can't train him. He's out of control, and he drags me wherever he wants to drag me." And so my dad said, "Well, what you need to do is you need to teach him obedience." And I got a book on dog training. I also got a collar. So I started taking that dog out for a walk every single day. And in the beginning, the dog led me, but I started training him. Sit, back. Heel, stay. And every day in the beginning he led me, but the more I trained him, the more the dog began to follow me. He came under my control. He came under obedience to my leading. So it no longer was wherever the dog wanted to go, it was wherever I trained the dog to go. Your thoughts are much like training a German Shepherd. Some of you are sitting in this auditorium and your mind is so undisciplined it's hard for you to even focus on what I'm saying. You've already gone outside, checked out the car, looked at the parking lot, gone to the oven, seen where you're going to eat, and then you come back. You're looking at me like this, but I know your mind's gone over there. You've been 100 different places and you're just kind of looking like this, like, "Hey, he doesn't know where I'm at." Yeah, I could tell when there's emptiness in there. I could tell when you're gone where no one's home. Hello. And you say, "I can't help it, Pastor, my mind wanders." And I'm saying, put a leash on that mind. Bring that mind into obedience. Get it under control. Start saying, "Hey, mind, if this is not a thought of God, then I want you to say, I take authority in Jesus' name. And I say, thought, come under the control of Christ. And if it's a thought that you don't need to have, it's an angry, depressed, negative, critical thought, then you need to say, Christ, take this thought obedient, make it, bring it under your control." And it says he brings every thought under control and makes it obedient to him. You have authority over your thinking. Some of you need to learn that. So when it comes to forgiveness, your mind tends to go to where you're hurt, but you have the ability by the power of Jesus Christ to begin to dictate where your mind goes, what you think about, what you're concentrating on, what you're meditating on. Whatever you think is who you are. As a man thinks, so is he, the Bible says. Whatever you think becomes the sum of who you are. The third thing that Scripture says, I'm talking about how to maintain your forgiveness, how to stay in your forgiveness. The third thing I want you to understand is this: when anger flares up, deal with it quickly before it gets a foothold in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 is one of the most powerful verses on anger. You need to underline this, you need to write it in your Bible because it's a very powerful verse. It says this: "In your anger, do not sin." Trick question. How many of you believe that anger is a sin? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that anger is not a sin? Raise your hand. We have a divided crowd here. It is a trick question. Let me say this. Anger can be sinful, but the emotion of anger is not a sin. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, God never sins, right? And God becomes angry. Jesus became angry. To be sad, to be angry, to be happy, they're emotions. There's no morality attached to your emotions. In fact, let me tell you this. There are times when we should become angry. There's times where injustice prevails. There are times when wrong is happening. That anger, what is anger? Anger is an emotion that gives you energy, right? There's something that's wrong, and suddenly when you're angry, there's a surge of adrenaline that pops up inside of you. When is it good? Well, let's imagine that you're walking down the parkway, and you see a woman with a young baby, and some thug is beating on her and hitting her, and the baby's in danger. You see what's happening. You become angry. How could he be doing that? I can't believe he's doing that. And that anger leads you to action, and you grab the guy, you throw him down. Of course, the men are saying, punch him, hit him, kick him a little bit. You get him away, you protect the woman. And in that case, that's godly anger. That's good anger. You should become angry when the innocent are being abused. That's good anger. It's energy, adrenaline that leads you to do something about it. However, that same kind of adrenaline, anger, emotion of anger can also lead you to do destructive things. You get angry at your child and you lash your child with the tongue saying things you should never say. You get angry at your job and you get home and you're just like you're a time bomb ready to explode. And people can tell, uh-oh, dad's had a bad day, watch out. And some people have let their anger go way too far and you get out of control. You become verbally abusive, people get physically abusive, they do things in their anger that they would never do when they're under control, they get out of control in their life, and it leads to sin. So what the Apostle Paul tells us is it's okay if you get angry, but do not let the emotion of anger drive you down the road to sin. And then it says, and when you do get angry, notice what it says. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Why does it tell us that? Well, here's the thing about anger. If you allow anger to go into the next day, and the next day, and the next day, some of you say, I'm not angry anymore, but you're really angry. You say, have you dealt with it? Yeah, I'm not angry anymore. You know why? Because you don't feel that explosive anger anymore, but instead it's turned into a simmering anger. You know what the Bible calls that? Bitterness. Some of you think because the emotion of rage isn't there that you no longer have to deal with something, but it's turned into even more dangerous sin. Now it's turned into bitterness. Bitterness is not explosive rage. Bitterness is a slow simmering, burning, boiling inside. When you see the person, you're not ready to punch them, but when you see them, you snarl. Yeah. It's not that let me get my hands on them anymore. Now it's, there they are, yeah. I'm walking the other side of the room. Bitterness is less detectable. You can manage it a little bit more. But the Bible says that a root of bitterness will grow up in your heart, and a root of bitterness will defile your life and begin to defile every person around you. It is a cancerous poison to the soul. It'll eat you up inside. It'll take away your spiritual life. It'll ruin your marriage. It'll take away your energy. It'll destroy your relationship with God. It will poison every aspect of your life because it is a poison of the soul, bitterness. And that's why God says you can be angry, but your anger is never meant to last more than a day. It's a real simple, great rule. When the sun starts going down, you realize, I got to deal with my anger. I can't care. Here's the rule. If I had one rule to give you as a marriage, there's a couple important rules. I know you guys just got married recently. You know, one important rule, don't carry it over to the next day. Okay? Don't carry it over to the next day.
You're listening to Mark Job right here on Bold Steps. Mark, I'm going to pause the message for a moment because I want our listeners to know about this movie, The Ends of the Earth, which premiered on Monday, but there's still an opportunity to see The Ends of the Earth in theaters this coming Thursday.
Yeah, many of our listeners have heard that we partnered with Missionary Aviation Fellowship to actually help make this movie because Moody has a vested interest in the gospel and aviation as well.
Yeah. Go to this website, theendsoftheearthmovie.com, theendsoftheearthmovie.com, and you can find the theater times where you live for this Thursday showing. It'll be the final showing in the theaters, so check that out, theendsoftheearthmovie.com. Well, it's not quite the ends of the earth, Mark, but you took a trip back home to Spain recently.
Yes, and traveling through COVID feels like you're going to the ends of the earth.
All the tests,
and it was. But yeah, many of our listeners know I grew up in Spain, and my mother still lives in Spain. I hadn't seen her in 2 years because of COVID. Travel is difficult, but she was turning 84, so we felt like we should be there for her 84th birthday. So I was able to be there. I have a real sweet spot for Spain and Europe, very unreached.
Yeah.
And our church has helped plant two churches in northern Spain, and I actually got an opportunity to preach on Sunday.
Well, we're hearing a little bit in the background right now. Let's listen a little bit more to your preaching in Spanish.
Este es un tiempo cuando los cristianos lumbramos. Este es un tiempo cuando la gente necesita esperanza, necesita el evangelio.
Okay, what he said. That must have been a special moment for
you. It was great. And they meet in a warehouse, so it's a little bit echoey. But, you know, Spain has less than 1% evangelical Christians. And so it's still a very secular country, a country that is a beautiful place, great heritage, but a lot of empty cathedrals in that country. So if you think of Spain, pray for Spain. And once in a while, I get to preach in Spanish.
I'm so glad that you got a chance to take that trip and see your mom again. I know she's listening right now, so a belated happy birthday
to
Mrs. Job.
Come on, happy birthday, Mom.
All right. Back to Mark's message now, how to maintain your forgiveness.
And then the Bible goes on to say this. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And listen, and do not give the devil a foothold. You know what a foothold is? Real simple. It's a foot in the door. When I was young, I had an older brother. We'd play around. He'd chase me. I'm going to get you. He'd run around. And I knew if I closed the door and locked it, you can't get me. But if he's chasing you around, and I go to close the door, and he gets his foot in the door, and the door closes, the door doesn't close all the way. How many of you know a foothold is the beginning of an open door? You say, oh, I can manage it. It's only a crack. Hey, all it takes is a crack. Once the foot is in the door, that means the door can't lock. And if the foot is in the door, that means people can yell in the door, so you can hear what they're saying. Then the hand gets in the door, and if he pushes and prods enough, pretty soon that door's going to open more, and before long, a foothold turns into an open door. Now, I want you to hear me and hear me well. Anger, when someone has hurt you, and you become angry and don't deal with that anger produces pain in your life, And the way you deal, if you're not forgiving and releasing, the way people deal with their anger is they try to find ways to feel good because they have pain inside. And we find shortcuts to feeling good. Some of our favorite shortcuts to feeling good is, I feel lousy, I'm angry, I need a drink. Just to take the edge off. I'm angry. Well, you know, you take the edge off so much you can barely walk. And then the next day, you need to take the edge off a little bit more. And you take the edge off so much, you constantly need just to survive to take the edge off. And then you wake up one day and you say, I don't know how I became an alcoholic. Because now your dependence is your drink. You can say that about the little line of powder people snort. I'm just a recreational guy. I don't really need this. But I need to do it, and I need to do it more because I'm angry, I'm upset, I need to do it more and more, and pretty soon you wake up one day and you have a $1,000 a week habit and you don't know where it came from. Or you start gambling because there's a little high when you win something, isn't it? I mean, even if it's 50 bucks, 25 bucks, wow! You just spent 40 bucks to win the 25, but hey, to see those slot machines come down, it's like, yeah, 25. And now you live for the high. I know I lost, but I just do it one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. And pretty soon you become an obsessive compulsive gambler. Why do people gamble? To make money? No, any smart person wouldn't gamble to make money because most people lose money. You gamble for the short high you get out of it. It's the feel good of winning. That's what you're going for. The same thing with pornography. You show me an angry man and I'll show you someone that struggles with lust because anger and lust are cousins. One of the easiest way that men deal with their anger issues is the quickest feel-good is a little bit of pornography. A little Playboy under the mattress, a little internet pornography. Oh, it feels good, watch it. Pretty soon it's more and more and more. And then suddenly you have someone that's an obsessive, compulsive pornography fiend that cannot control it. Their mind's constantly going there. And it's not about the sex. It's about the compulsive addictive behavior of feeling good for the moment, and someone wakes up and cannot understand why they have an addiction now and can't have a healthy relationship because their mind has gone so far down there that they're in an addictive compulsive way. I'm talking about why you need to deal with anger right away and why you cannot live with hurt in your life and allow it to turn into bitterness and resentment in your life. The Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold. The devil gets a foothold, he gets access to your life, and some of you have opened up footholds in your life because you did not deal with anger issues in your life. Psalms 4:4 says, in your anger do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. One last point I'm going to give you here, and we're going to wrap things up. Number 4, talking about how to maintain your forgiveness. Determine to treat people according to your choice of forgiveness. Once you forgive someone, you need to say in your mind, I'm going to treat this person as though they are forgiven. You say, well, I don't feel forgiveness. Can I tell you this? Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not true. Oh, let me say that again. Your feelings are not a dependable barometer of reality. Are you tracking with me? How many of you in the moment of depression have felt like, hey, God doesn't love me? Where is God? Has he abandoned me? But it doesn't mean that God has. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's reality. Your emotions should not drive your life. Your faith should drive your life. The facts of the Word of God and your faith should be the engine that drives your life. Your emotions should be the tail of the train. Your emotions need to follow your facts and faith. Hello? You may wake up one day and feel like, hey, my spouse doesn't love me. Doesn't mean they don't love you, just means you feel like they don't love you. You may have a terrible day and terrible things going on, terrible crisis in your life, and you think God has abandoned me. It doesn't mean God has abandoned you just because you feel like he's abandoned you. You may wake up one day and feel like the world's against me because everything's going wrong. It seems like everybody's against me. Just because you feel that doesn't mean it's true. And what I'm saying to you is that just because you don't feel like you have forgiven doesn't mean you have. You begin to live and act and flow in forgiveness. Forgiven hurt seeks healing. Unforgiven hurt seeks revenge. Psalms 32 verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit." Bottom line, folks, is this. You were never engineered by God to live with unforgiveness in your life. You were never made by God to live with undealt with anger in your life. You were never emotionally, spiritually, physically built to carry a truckload of resentment in your life. So if you are doing that, something inside of you is breaking. Something inside of you is crashing, is dysfunctional. If you carry that weight for too long, you will damage yourself, your marriage, your children, your relationship, and your spiritual life. So God's exhortation to you today is release it. Let go of it. Forgive. Amen? Amen. I know that there's someone listening to this message right now that the Spirit of God is convicting you in particular, not in general, about unforgiveness in your heart. This is a huge, huge problem. And so many people live carrying the baggage. It takes away their joy. It robs them of that sense of the presence of God. And you've heard the message. If you are living with unforgiveness, I want to remind you that it's not about excusing what someone did to you. It's not about minimizing what someone did to you. It's not about saying it's okay. It's about saying, I've been hurt. I have unforgiveness. Maybe it's turned into resentment. But because God has forgiven me, I choose to release that person that I've held in debtor's prison for my good and for the glory of God. And so I'm going to pause and pray right now. And if you have someone to forgive, I want you to say their name. I want you to state their offense. And today, right now, I want you to initiate the process of releasing them. Father, you see the hurt. You see the emotional pain. You see the damage that's been done by these acts, by these words, by these behaviors that have hurt so many people. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would grant the grace of forgiveness, of release to my brother, my sister right now that's struggling with it. I pray that you would give them the power to say, today I release it, not because they deserve it, but because you have released me and because you have forgiven us. Now we choose to forgive, and we do this in Jesus' name. Bring healing to hearts, God. Bring release to pressure. Bring the erasing of resentment. I pray that they would feel it spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. And let me mention also that if you are a new believer, Mark has put together an amazing video to guide you in your new walk. When you sign up to go deeper in your faith, we'll send you a personalized letter from Mark, a New Testament Bible, and the latest edition of our monthly newsletter, Today in the Word. Just go to boldstepsradio.org and click on My Next Step. These are just a couple of ways we want to come alongside you and encourage and equip you for the journey. And another way is by providing quality resources like our Bold Step gift. This month's selection is a book by Dr. Henry Blackaby titled Experiencing the Cross, Your Greatest Opportunity for Victory. If your personal faith is anything short of a genuine relationship that's full of God's presence and power, I highly recommend you request a copy of this book today. We'll send it to you with a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just send your gift and request for the book, Experiencing the Cross, in the mail when you write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or ask for the book when you call us. The number to dial is 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or go online and give at boldstepsradio.org. Well, thanks for joining us today. I'm Wayne Shepherd inviting you to come back tomorrow when Mark talks about breaking the cycle of scarcity. We'll be getting practical advice from the book of Galatians, so don't miss this message Wednesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.